Our second reading today is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Thank you. Last week we introduced the idea of journeying through the wilderness with Jesus for Lent. And when we talk particularly about worship, we often have a preconceived idea of what that might be. We imagine worship involves singing songs and hymns, using guitars or choirs or organs. Worship has changed in churches. We've moved from Francis Ridley Havergal to Graham Kendrick to Matt Redman to Lou Fellingham. But much of our worship remains about singing. Some of our worship includes prayers that have long, long words, some prayers from resources. Some worship requires a lot of technology. You can tell how old you are in a church if you remember it when they used to use hymn books. Anyone remember hymn books here? Oh, I can see the warmth of heart. Anyone remember overhead projectors? Yeah. Anyone under 40 is going, what is an overhead projector? And so forth and so on. Or perhaps you've listened to worship music over the years on worship tapes. But then we had to get rid of those because we needed worship CDs. And now we have worship playlists on Spotify. But wilderness worship is different. When Jesus went off into the wilderness, he didn't go, right, double check, have I got my Graham Kendrick's anthology on my iPad? That's fine. Have I got my tambourine? Have I got my book of prayers for 40 days? No, he went in on his own. He went with nothing. And therefore, the way he worshipped was different from how we generally do, but can be very helpful for us to understand. We're going to look at three aspects of that today. And the first is solitude. Jesus often went away from the crowds. This is a good example. The news about him spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We will each have different views of solitude. Some of us will be fairly nervous of spending time in solitude. That idea of being on our own, what will we do? I would probably put myself in that camp. I may have told this before, many years ago, Kate and I went to a silent retreat. I should have read the title more carefully. Because we were being sent off, Eddie Askew was there, a famous Christian author, and he would talk about one of his paintings or artifacts, and then he'd sent off for 45 minutes, go and find a place of stillness. So we went off to find a place of stillness. And it was all right for 5 minutes, but I go and say hello to Kate, "Hey, getting on?" And I'm sure she wanted her own stillness and didn't want me interrupting her stillness. But that whole sense of, I found it difficult. Some of us will think of, what a great idea. Our kids used to have a book called Peace at Last, where a mother elephant is just tired of kids. She wants to have a cup of tea and a kid comes and talks to her. She wants to have do some work. Oh, some of us may think, silence, solitude, all those things would be lovely. But actually, it's more profound than this. Henry Nguyen, a Christian author, died a few years ago, wrote a book about the desert fathers and desert mothers who in the 5th century went out into the desert to try and solitude and to try and meet with God in a more meaningful way. And I know if you follow Lectio 365, they're doing a series at the moment about the desert mothers and fathers, which is really good to watch, listen to. Nguyen says this about solitude, which I think is very helpful. Solitude is not a private therapeutic place. Rather, it is the place of conversion, a place where the old self dies and the new self is born. In solitude, I get rid of my scaffolding. No friends to talk with, no telephone calls to make, no meetings to attend, no music to entertain, no books to distract. We enter into solitude, first of all, to meet our Lord and to be with him and him alone. That's what Jesus sought in those moments of solitude, to take away that scaffolding, that busyness, so he could meet with God. This run up to Easter, I wonder how often we can find in our busy schedules and demanding workplaces or in our lives to find a place of solitude, to go and face ourselves in that silence, to go and give God a chance to talk to us. Maybe this week, find a moment, a time, a 5-10 minutes time, just to be alone and give God the chance to talk. Secondly, in the wilderness, Jesus teaches about simplicity. Jesus rejects unnecessary baggage. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me and I can give it to anyone I want. And yet Jesus avoided having things. He lived a simple life, described in Luke 9 as a homeless man. I have nowhere to lay my head. The only possessions he seemed to have or the clothes that he wore. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things. It's when things start to have control over us. Simplicity is the antidote to modern advertising. I've yet to see an advert that says, hey, you probably don't need this, actually. You've probably got enough. Have you ever seen one of those? No. When it comes to Christmas, we're told we need all these things to make Christmas special. Special mini vol-au-vents, special mini quiches, special mini everything. We need matching pajamas on Christmas Eve. It won't be special without it. That's what we're told. We need a turkey that is the size of a small mini. We need all the trimmings and the trappings. But actually, Jesus's time in the wilderness reminds us a simple life is often a better life. Maybe this Lent we can turn our daily walk into a prayer walk. Maybe we can, don't know if I can say this, put our smartphones away for a day. A half a day. 20 minutes? Could you do it for 5? Maybe we should turn off the music and the radio and just have a simpler time. And the third thing that Jesus demonstrates, he didn't eat in the wilderness. When the devil turns to him and says, if you are the Son of God, I tell you to turn this stone to become bread. And what the devil is essentially doing, he's not saying you're hungry, aren't you? Because he already knows he is. He's actually asking, what really matters to you? Not who are you, Jesus, but who are you belonging to? It reminds us that actually our lives are sustained by more than food, however nice a mini vol-au-vent might be. They're actually sustained by the word of God. Those words, as Colossians tells us, where all things are held together. And so Jesus replies, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The early church actually continued fasting as an absence of food, and they did that as a spiritual practice, putting aside a mealtime not to eat food, but to pray or to read our Bible. And that might be something you want to consider doing. Christians still do it today. If you are going to consider doing it, do it in small bits first. Don't say, I tell you what, let's do 7 days without eating. That'll be a good way to meet God. It'll be a good way to end up in hospital. But try it small first and extend if you want to. But there are other forms of fasting too. This idea of giving up things for Lent comes from the idea of taking away that which is unhelpful and replacing it with something that's better. But it can also be something to do with doing good things. Isaiah 58 has a fantastic line. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Sometimes fasting means doing good things for others. So as we go on our journey to Easter, as we reflect on worship in the wilderness, maybe you can find some time this week to be solitary and give God a chance to talk. Maybe you can consider living a simpler week than you normally would. Or maybe fasting from something that's not helpful, or actually going and doing something that's really helpful. Each of those are acts of worship. I've heard it said that in church we worship through adoration, and when we leave our church meetings, we worship through action. So as you journey into this week, maybe those aspects of worship in the wilderness will help you to worship God in new ways.